Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are winding down our series on a look at the Journal of Discourses, 26 volumes of various sermons given by leaders in the latter part of the 19th century, and we thought we'd end it up with a bunch of various quotes by Brigham Young. If you were to go around the state of Utah, particularly the city of Salt Lake, you would find that this is a culture that certainly pays homage to Brigham Young, the second president of the Mormon Church. If you were to go downtown, for instance, there is a large statue of Brigham Young standing there on the Main Street Plaza, as it has come to be known. There's actually an interesting poem that Mormons have put together regarding this statue, but it shows Brigham Young standing there with his arm outstretched. And if you were to look at the direction in which his arm is stretched out, it actually points towards Zion's Bank, which is owned by the LDS Church. And the poem goes something like this. It goes, "There stands Brigham like a bird on his perch, with his hand to the bank and his back to the church." Now, I didn't make that up,
no,
folks.
No, I've heard it for many years.
This is a Mormon quotation. maybe there's a lot to that we could probably discuss on another show. But if you were in that same area, if you went to the corner of Main Street and South Temple, there's a bust of Brigham Young as well. Of course, we can't forget that there's a very famous university that is named after Brigham Young. Originally, it was known as the Brigham Young Academy, later changed to Brigham Young University. There's also a city north of Salt Lake known as Brigham City. So there is definitely a lot of honor paid to Brigham Young on the part of the Latter-day Saints. Yet, when you quote Brigham Young to many modern Mormons, and you quote some of the strange things that this guy taught, and folks, he taught a lot of strange teachings, a lot of Mormons tend to just roll their eyes. One of the things that we want to look at today is, as you probably know, one of the huge announcements at the October 2012 General Conference is that the Mormon Church came out with this new policy that they are now going to recruit 18-year-olds to serve on their two-year missions.
Males.
18-year-old males, and they also drop the age of the female missionaries from 21 down to 19. Now, this was the buzz all over Salt Lake City. It was on the news and everything like that. A few years ago, the Mormon Church announced that they were going to raise the bar. And what they meant by that was they were going to look for a more quality type young people to serve on missions, young people that have, of course, better moral character than others. But are you aware that in the 19th century, that certainly was not a qualification to go on a mission? Not to say that there were not good Mormons that went out on missions, but certainly Brigham Young didn't hold to the attitude that the modern church holds to today. So we're going to look at some of the statements that Brigham Young actually said in the 19th century regarding the kind of people that were sent out on missions. One of them, you can find this in the Journal of Discourses, Volume 3, page 239, where Brigham Young is talking about Mormons who serve as witnesses in court cases. And he actually says that Mormons were known to lie, even, I guess, while under oath. He says, "Do I say that lying is practice in those places? Yes, often from beginning to end. Men will take a solemn oath that they will tell the truth in the name of Israel's God and nothing but the truth. And then, if they have a prejudice against Mr. A or B, they will tell their story to suit themselves and, if possible, crush an innocent person." I'm sure there's a lot of ex-Mormons who would probably say that this still goes on when they've had their reputation crushed by members in their former ward. But Brigham Young goes on here. He says, "I wanted to know the men who were coaxing hell into our midst, for I wish to send them to China, to the East Indies, or to where they cannot get back at least 4 or 5 years." He says, but we will send off the poor curses on a mission, and then the devil may have them, and we do not care how soon they apostatize after they get as far as California. Hardly a raising the bar scenario. Brigham Young actually saw the mission system as a way of getting rid of troublemakers. Well, you have some quotes there too.
Well, yeah, in 1860 he said the same thing. In volume 7, pages 228 and 229, he said, we have at times sent men on missions to get rid of them, but they have generally come back. Some think it is an imposition upon the world to send such young men among them, but which is best, to keep them here to pollute others or to send them where pollution is more prevalent?
So obviously Brigham Young didn't seem to really care about the populations outside of Utah at that time. This is hardly a raising the bar moment here. So.
Yeah. Here's another quote that doesn't relate to that, but another issue of Brigham Young, who said that he could find more girls than the other young men. In September 6, 1857, volume 5, page 210, he said, he has told you that he is an old man. Do you think I am an old man? Brigham Young said, I could prove to this congregation that I am young, for I could find more girls who would choose me for a husband than any of the young men. Do you think that scared a lot of the men out there? Because he did have plural wives, and so I wonder how many were thinking he's going to take these young girls that might be my girlfriend.
Well, consider also that the statistics have always borne record that there were more men than women to begin with. So when you have Mormon leaders such as Brigham Young, who get, we have to assume, the cream of the crop, what is left over for the rest of the Mormon male membership? That certainly could be disconcerting, especially since marriage is a salvific issue in the Mormon Church. And polygamy at that time was certainly a salvific issue. As we've discussed before, the only men who become gods or even the sons of God are those who enter into polygamy. That was Brigham Young who said that.
Well, and when it came to the first cause, Brigham Young would talk about that in Volume 7, page 285. Listen to what he says. He's referred to the first cause, and he speculates on where that all came from. And then he says this on page 285, mankind are here because they are the offspring of parents who were first brought here from another planet.
Planet. What is the synonym for planet? World, Earth.
Yes.
Now, what is the Mormon Church denying now? They're saying now that exalted Mormon men do not get their own world in the next life.
But
that's not what Brigham Young taught.
Yeah, I was going to say. And then power was given them to propagate their species, and they were commanded to multiply and replenish the earth. I mean, this is a teaching that a lot of Mormons might say they don't agree with, but it certainly was something that Brigham Young taught.
Also, Brigham Young taught a doctrine that is still being held today, and that is the idea that the Garden of Eden was located on the American continent. This is said on October 2nd, 1860. You can find it in Volume 8, page 195 of the Journal of Discourses, where Brigham Young said, in the beginning, after this earth was prepared for man, the Lord commenced his work upon what is now called the American continent, where the Garden of Eden was made. In the days of Noah, in the days of the floating of the ark, he took the people to another part of the earth. The earth was divided, and there he set up his kingdom. Obviously, we know that that's what Mormons have believed because Joseph Smith taught that the Garden of Eden was located near Independence, Missouri, and after Adam was expelled from the garden, he fled to an area about 60 miles north of Independence, Missouri, to an area that Mormons now call Adam on Die Amen. We've been there many times.
We've talked to missionaries there who have said everything you've just said, and would say anybody who disagrees with that, who's a Latter-day Saint, doesn't know what they're talking about.
And this is a division that's even within the Mormon Church, because you have a lot of Latter-day Saints, primarily professors at Brigham Young University, that hold to what they call the limited geography theory. They do not put the Nephites in the North American setting, at least the American setting. That would be what's known as more of the Heartland model. And guys like Rod Meldrum and Glenn Beck hold to that position. So you do have a division within the Mormon Church on that very subject. But Brigham Young certainly believed that Adam lived on this American continent. I actually heard Hartman Rector years ago, who at the time was the mission president in San Diego, he said something to the effect that Noah actually got in his ark around North or South Carolina. And I heard him say that. And this wasn't all that terribly long ago. So obviously, Mormons do have quite a different position when it comes to that. We have also in volume 13, I'm looking at volume 13, where Brigham Young actually said, he said, "Who can tell us of the inhabitants of this little planet that shines of an evening called the moon?" First of all, the moon is not a planet, Mr. Young. It's a moon. But he says, "When we view its face, we may see what is termed the man in the moon and what some philosophers declare are the shadows of mountains. But these sayings are very vague and amount to nothing. And when you inquire about the inhabitants of that sphere, you find that the most learned are as ignorant in regard to them as the most ignorant of their fellows. So it is with regard to the inhabitants of the sun. Do you think it is inhabited? I rather think it is. Do you think there is any life there? No question of it. It was not made in vain. It was made to give light to those who dwell upon it and to other planets."
See, you could get away with that back in the 19th century. Obviously, we hadn't been to the moon. The scientific exploration hadn't taken place yet. I mean, the predecessor to Brigham Young, Joseph Smith, was able to get away with a lot of things with the Book of Abraham, with common funeral papyri, and being able to turn that into a book that was papyrus from Abraham himself. And nobody could dispute that either. But as time shows, these men were wrong.
Getting back to the worlds, I might want to mention before we have to close here very quickly, Brigham Young also said that every world has its tempter and every world has its redeemer. So if Brigham Young's telling the truth, if a Mormon hopes to get his own world in the next life, he has to expect that one of his offspring is going to have to redeem his offspring, because one of his offspring is going to be a tempter who's going to deceive them.
We have many more quotes, and everything we've done from this Journal of Discourse series, we have the listing of where these can be found on our website, mrm.org. You can just go to the front page, or you can / Journal Gems, one word, G-E-M-S, and that will take you to these sources.
It has the references there, but we also have on the mrm.org website the whole set of the Journal of Discourses. If you want to read the quotations yourself, just go to our search box and type in Journal of Discourses, and it will pop up. And then you can verify the quotations that we have been using in this series.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic. And this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.